This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
On the southern coast of England, there are seagulls flying higher, still higher than before. It's as though they've been hoisted like a flag. When the battle has been won, you can hear the ocean roar. On Marina Harbor, there's a good wind for sailing, and they leave me standing on the shore. Where seagulls fly, there stand I. Where seagulls fly, there stand I.
Evening, 9:30, you're listening to Love Sport Radio. Me, Joe Forrester, here with you until 11 p.m. In the next half an hour, we are talking all things Brighton. Yep, that's right. It is the Brighton Fan Show. And Seagulls fans, we want to hear from you at Love Sport Radio on social media. Give us a bell or send us a WhatsApp message, 0208 70 25 58. Joshua Goldsmith from the Together Brighton podcast is with us. Josh, mate, do you know what? It's been 2 weeks without football. How are you holding up?
I'm just about doing all right, mate. How about you?
Do you know, I'm okay. I was just saying to the lads from the Cardiff City Fan Show a few moments ago, downloaded Championship Manager 2001-2002. So I've now got a new job as a full-time football manager 20 years ago.
That's not bad either. I see that Football Manager have also put their game up for free for the next week as well. So if you want to get yourself addicted to anything, you've got plenty of options at this point.
Absolutely. I said to myself, well, I'm going to write a play, I'm going to write a sketch show, oh, I'm going to start a new exercise routine. No, I just downloaded a game that's 19 years old and started playing that instead. Right, Adam Stenning from the Argus is with us as well. Adam, good evening. Oh, okay, we don't have Adam at the moment, sorry. I thought we had Adam there. Producer Pro's got his head in his hands. So, Josh, so obviously 2 weeks without football, we do know that the football season is going to be finishing no matter what happens. No football until 30th of April at the very earliest. Do you think it's the right decision that we've got to finish this season now?
I think we'll maybe see them change their tune the further into the summer we get, just because I think it gets a bit dicey when you get contracts finishing up, loan periods finishing up at the end of June. You know, there's a lot of teams, especially teams, you know, like Leeds and teams at the top of the Championship that have a lot of players on loan that are integral to their success. And on June 30th, they all go back to their parent clubs. So I think that if it continues the way it's going, I think, you know, from April 30th until June 30th, I think you can easily finish the season in that amount of time. But I think if it continues to stretch on beyond that and you're getting into kind of the middle of May towards June, then I think you may see them change their tune a little bit just out of necessity.
Yeah, you mentioned the June 30th date, and that is absolutely key. Gaetan Bong, Kyle Balogun, Scalotto, all due for contract renewals on the 30th of June. It raises not an interesting, a difficult conundrum, doesn't it, for football clubs, in the sense that, say we get underway in June, then you might be playing with, for example, a team that, for example, you might have your players sold out from underneath you during your final run in sort of towards the end of the season. If we start in August, say, you might have drastically different personnel to who you had the last time you played in this technical season. That's got to derail a club, hasn't it? Especially with a club like Brighton, who are obviously looking over their shoulders at the relegation zone.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got players like Jason Malumbi, who's on loan at Millwall and has been excellent. Ben White, who's been on loan at Leeds, who's been excellent. Knockhart at Fulham. You're going to see a lot of these players come back into the squad, and they may have roles to play, but, you know, there's also a lot of teams out there that are going to be absolutely kicking themselves for losing them. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they're going to bring that in, whether they just kind of... In fact, I don't know the answer. I don't know how they're going to make that work. If the contracts are up, the contracts are up. And I'm not sure how they're going to be able to address that. And not only that, but, you know, when you come back after a break like this, it's almost going to be like a mini preseason again as well. So I think there's a lot of, you know, logistics to be worked out, but I'm not convinced that they're going to finish this season no matter what. I think they're kind of hoping that by April 30, it's died down and everything looks okay to go. And then I think, you know, they can be confident in finishing it. I think if it goes beyond that, I think we're in really dicey territory, and I can't see it going past June 30th. I think they'll probably find another way of cancelling the season or whatever it is they have to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's this issue, obviously, with the contracts. It also applies to sponsorship deals. Most sponsorship deals expire in or up for renewal in June, and Premier League teams have 10, 15, 20 sponsors. So financially and legally, it creates such a huge issue. Paul Barber agrees that it is the right decision for now, but he's realistic that football might not get underway in 6 weeks' time. Do you have any kind of idea what the kind of training is like under Graham Potter at the moment? I mean, have the players been given, as I know some teams have, been given apps so that the training staff can track their progress and make sure they're training? Are they training on their own? Have they been given workout programs? Are they being brought in at all? I mean, do you know what the setup is at all at Brighton?
That's a great question. I can only know on what's been kind of reported on Twitter and all that sort of good stuff. I know that they were due to come back in the recent, you know, the last couple of days. They were due to come back and start training with obviously the idea that beginning of April, they will be back. I know that they've now been extended, so they will not be coming back as soon as they thought. In terms of kind of holding on to them in terms of apps and all that sort of stuff, Potter is a very forward-thinking and kind of revolutionary coach, so it wouldn't shock me in the slightest if they have just about everything going on over there right now. But I honestly don't have a huge input into that side. Adam would have been perfect to give you that kind of information. But I do know that they're working on getting a delay on getting the players in, and they're also working on paying the staff, but I know that we talked about that last week, and they're going to kind of pay out the staff regardless of where the games are played, so that's excellent.
How much do you think match day revenue is going to be a problem for the club? Because obviously most Premier League clubs, I think, they take 15% of their earnings, I think I'm right in saying off the top of my head, from match day revenue. So obviously it's nowhere near as much as a National League team, League 2, League 1, Championship teams. But it's still going to hurt a club like Brighton, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this is a club that's been built to be kind of self-sufficient even if we go down. So I can only imagine that the percentage is probably maybe slightly more, just because we're kind of relying on ourselves more than we are sponsors and big deals. But at the same time, you know, they are such a forward-thinking club, and they are so well put together since Tony Bloom and Paul Barber and people came in and kind of sorted it out, that I would expect they have some kind of plan, but there's only so much you can plan for with such an unprecedented event. So, you know, I think like everybody else, as this goes on and the longer this goes on, you'll start seeing the hurt really be applied to these teams.
Let's talk about, I mean, the football. I know it seems like ever such a long time ago, but looking at the table, obviously Brighton are down there looking over their shoulders, 29 points, only 2 points above Bournemouth in the relegation zone, with 9 games left to play this season. Form was pretty rotten. 4 points out of the last 5 games, 4 draws and 1 defeat in there. In terms of, I suppose, impetus and momentum, did you feel like Potter was doing enough to keep the Seagulls up?
I did. You know, watching them every week, I thought that I could see the kind of evolution of the team as the weeks went on. The beginning of the year was horrific, and it really looked like they'd totally lost their way. And it became pretty clear around the Sheffield United game that Potter had done whatever it was that he had done and kind of started reversing the rot, so to speak, and got us playing a lot better football. He kind of went back to defense first, keeping that clean sheet or keeping the goals out, which was something that we'd struggled to do in recent weeks after we conceded, you know, three at West Ham and got let in a goal against Watford when it's kind of unlike us to let some goals in like that. So it was, you know, he can rely on players like Duffy, like Dunk. So I'm glad that he kind of went back to basics there. And, you know, harkened into the Chris Hughton era and really just focused on keeping goals out. And when we last played, it was Wolves, and you're right, it does feel like a million years ago now. But we kind of put together almost the perfect away performance for a team in the bottom, you know, five or six. We defended incredibly well, and we looked really dangerous on the few times we did attack. And I was sitting there watching that and thinking, you know, I'd probably rather see us against teams in the top eight than I would against teams around us, because playing on that kind of counter-attack and attack and having teams come onto us seems to suit us more in the Potter than it did under Hughton.
You mentioned Chris Hughton, of course. One of the big criticisms that has been levelled at Graham Potter is for all his forward thinking and his embracing of technology and his emphasis on style, Brighton aren't much better off than they were under Chrissy Hughton. Do you think that's fair, or do you think there's an evolution that you've seen?
I think it's both. I think it's entirely fair to make the comparison, because, you know, it's only normal to be able to do that. We're in a situation just a year removed after Hughton left, and we're in a situation where we're 1 point worse off at this point in the season. So I think it's entirely fair. But I think if you're watching them every week and you're going to games or you're watching them, I think you can see the huge undertaking of difference that he's brought in. And, you know, he has only had two windows. And January is a window that Tony Bloom traditionally hates spending in. So you can almost call it one and a half. And I was really, really looking forward to the idea of staying up and seeing what he would do this summer, because I think there'll be a lot of outs and a lot of ins. And who knows now? But, you know, I think that he's still got to mold that squad to look how he wants it to look. And, you know, barring scoring goals, which is obviously very important and we're bad at it, we're still a pretty decent side. And I think that he is a more attacking coach. And if he brought in the right players in the summer, I think that we would go on to be a bit more of a force than we are this year.
And you say right players. What kind of player is it that you think you're looking for? What positions and particularly what style of player?
Striker. We are desperate for a striker. We were desperate in January for one. Honestly, we've been desperate to find a kind of heir apparent to Glenn Murray for 3 years. We've known that he was 34 when we got promoted, and, you know, he can only drag us so far scoring goals, and I've got all the time in the world for him, but you've got to learn that, you know, we probably need somebody to come in of his kind of stature to carry on the mantle. Potter in the past, at all of his clubs previous, does tend to do well with that slightly taller, faster striker. You know, Ollie McBurnie was scoring goals for fun under him, and players prior to that also. So I think that's probably an obvious point that he's going to want to sign into. And, you know, hopefully we can stay up, or whatever happens with the season results in us being in the Premier League next year, and he can go out and get his match.
Absolutely right. We're going to be talking about some transfer rumours actually when it comes to the Seagulls and who they might be bringing in when we do finally get underway again.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
9:15 is Friday night. You're listening to me, Joe Forrester, here on Love Sport Radio. It's the Brighton Fans Show, and Brighton fans, it is your chance to have your say at Love Sport Radio. Give us a ring, 0208 70 20 558. Joshua Goldsmith from the Together Brighton podcast is still with us. Josh, let me just quickly ask you, actually, you're based out in the States, right?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, so you're over Charlotte. Oh, I remember the Charlotte Hornets. I used to, on Kobe Bryant's NBA courtside, the Charlotte Hornets were my team. Anyway, that's enough of my trip down memory lane at computer games. The Prime Minister today in the UK announced that he's shutting pubs and clubs and bars and basically anywhere where people can gather to try and mitigate the effects of the coronavirus pandemic. How's it being dealt with over in North Carolina?
Very similarly, actually. Our governor, who's kind of the governor of the county and the state, he has also done the same thing. He shut down all bars, pubs, restaurants, cinemas, all that good stuff last Tuesday or Wednesday, I think. So we've had a couple of days now with no restaurants being open. I'm pretty sure it was Tuesday. He's doing pretty much the same thing, and we're not particularly seeing a drop in cases right now. It's continuing to go up. So I think that, you know, it's not a million miles away until we go into that kind of shelter in place, like full lockdown, that, you know, places like California are already in, and I believe Illinois also did the same thing today. I think that they're woefully underprepared over here. And, you know, that's what happens when you base your entire healthcare system around paying money instead of helping the people. So that's my small rant.
Well, to be fair, I think it's a very eloquent and articulate one. I think a lot of people will take that point as well. Over to the States in terms of football. FA Cincinnati general manager Gerard Nijkamp plans to hold talks with Brighton over Jurgen Lacadia over a potential permanent transfer. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I saw that the other day. I'm happy for him. It just never worked out for him in England. Whenever he did play, he looked bright enough. You know, he did the right things. He looked all right, but he just never quite looked up to the pace of the Premier League. He looked slightly behind everybody else. And, you know, I think that when you look at the MLS and a team like FC Cincinnati, who are brand new, I think, this year, or maybe only 1 year in, he'll probably be one of the focal points of the team, and that's probably going to be a huge benefit for him. So, I mean, I think it would be a good move for everyone involved.
He scored, didn't he? I'm pretty sure he did. He score opening weekend, maybe? I remember seeing him come up. I'm pretty sure he's already got a goal over there, so maybe things have started better for him already. Brighton, one of the teams alongside Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield as well, Villa 2, in the race to sign Wolves defender Deion Sanderson. Do you think that's an addition that would be valuable?
It's a good question. I haven't seen that rumour. What position does Sanderson play?
So he's fullback, I think. So Producer Proke is a fullback, isn't he? I think Deion Sanderson. Yeah, he is. Yeah. So, I mean, potentially is that a position you think that Brighton need to improve?
I mean, yeah, we can definitely look at a left back and a right back. Shalotto and Bong are both out the door in the summer. I definitely think that they both will be let go. I can't see it being extended. So, I mean, that would be a move that would make sense. We've just signed Tariq Lamptey, who's also kind of a young, you know, promising English fullback from Chelsea. So it may well be kind of the sensible move. I see that just now that that Sanderson went out on loan at Cardiff before all this happened and he'd made a couple of appearances. Mm. So, yeah, I don't think it would be a bad move. I think it's probably one of those ones for the future. But, yeah, I don't hate that idea. I think that we're desperately in need of some depth at fullback.
In terms of, there's this big question about the problem further down the football pyramid caused, obviously, by the COVID-19 outbreak and clubs that do rely on their gate receipts very heavily, losing matchday staff and losing matchday revenue, sorry, I should say, and being forced to lay off staff and potentially some clubs folding and disappearing altogether. It's a difficult and, I suppose, a somewhat loaded question for a Brighton fan because you are struggling to keep your heads above water in terms of avoiding relegation. But do you think that the Premier League should perhaps subsidise the teams lower down the pyramid?
Yes, no doubt about it. You know, when I first started following the Albion and went to my first game, it was in 97, and we were, you know, just 45 minutes away from totally being extinct. So I definitely don't ever forget where we came from. I was there throughout the rough years, so to speak, as a kid. And, you know, I think that we need to be doing everything we can to help these teams that need it. And I see that the UK government today said something about paying 80% of wages for businesses that are struggling. And I think, you know, I think the FA and the EFL need to step up and take a look at and do it the same thing for the clubs that need it. Because, you know, there's a lot of jobs that could be lost and there's a lot of culture that could just be down the Swanee if they don't. And, you know, it's something that we can't afford to lose. So, no, I think we do not need another Bury on a mass scale.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. And I think you look at the very, very best players, not just now, but in the last 10, 15, 20 years, going back even further than that, the very, very best players in England who've become world-class players have been on loan at clubs in League One and the Championship and at a very prosaic level without the teams lower down the football structure. The Premier League doesn't get to be the Premier League. And I absolutely agree with you. I think they could do with recognising that. One idea to expedite the return of football is to play games behind closed doors. I watched a few games behind closed doors in that midweek Champions League round, which I personally thought was pretty rubbish. Watching a football match, even on the television, without fans isn't something that I particularly enjoyed. Even if it's a good game, it just feels like a friendly. Lots of ex-pros have said there's no point playing without fans. Where do you stand on games behind closed doors?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't like the idea of it. You know, before the end of the, before this all went down, I was actually feeling quite confident going into the Arsenal game. We have quite a decent record playing Arsenal. We'd already beat them once this season. We were at home. And, you know, I thought that the fans, the crowd, the atmosphere and the good little bit of momentum we were starting to pick up at Wolves would have been something that could carry us through. If you take the fans out of the equation, you know, it destroys that momentum, I feel like. And like you said, it no matter what they do, it still does feel like a little bit of a warm-up game or a friendly or like an under-23s game, and it doesn't feel quite right. So, no, I don't like the idea of that. And, I mean, sponsors might be happy, but at the same time, you've got the gate receipts again. If it's important, it's not going to work out for a lot of those teams in the lower leagues. You know, it's still going to give them the same problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Premier League, to be honest, more than anything, and it's something that's not really been mentioned, are absolutely terrified that Sky and BT are going to withhold some of the outstanding payments because they don't pay the billions of pounds in revenue all at once. They pay for certain match packages at a time. And they're absolutely terrified that that big wad of hundreds of millions of pounds won't come. Just finally, before we end the show, looking back on the season so far, let's talk about who your heroes and zeros have been. Let's start negatively. Who are the players who you think could have done better for the Seagulls this season?
I think Florin Andone was a big letdown. He started the season so well and then let himself down so fast, and was then promptly shipped off to Turkey on loan. I thought he was one of the players that would thrive under Potter. He's quick, he's aggressive, he knows how to score goals, and he really failed to kind of step up, and he just ended up somehow having more of an attitude problem than he had before. So I was really disappointed with him.
And who's impressed you?
I tell you who's impressed in recent weeks more than anything. Bissouma, our number 8 midfielder. He played against Wolves and he ran the show from front to back. I thought he was excellent over the course of the entire season. I think it has to be Davy Proper, the Dutch midfielder. I think he's probably, I would go so far, even though I'm incredibly biased, to say he's probably one of the most underrated players in the entire league, let alone the team. I think he just doesn't get anywhere near enough praise that he should. He's brilliant in transition, he's brilliant attacking, he's brilliant defending, and he just seems to have an engine for days. And he's been getting, you know, international call-ups to the Netherlands and performing on that stage too. So I think he's probably been one of my standout players of the season for sure.
I mean, the obvious, the pandemic aside, what will be your big takeaway from Brighton this season?
I think that there's a lot of positives to take away. I think that Potter has learned a lot on the job, and you know he's done a lot of work prior to this. It's not like it's his first job, but it is his first job in the Premier League, and he's found out very quickly how much of a different animal it is compared to anything he's done before. And what's reassured me is that no matter how bad we've looked on a certain day, we don't look that bad the next week. And you can see in real time the changes he's making because he can see it himself. And he's also kind of humble enough to look back on his decisions and know that he's done wrong. You know, we were conceding a lot of goals in January and February. He likes to attack. He likes to play an open game. And he then went against his own kind of ethos and went more defensive, and it's bore fruit because we've earned points where we maybe wouldn't have 2 months ago. So I think, you know, it's a work in progress. I think I've seen enough from Potter to think he's definitely the man to carry on taking us forward. And, you know, I think we're kind of one striker away from being a much better side than we are now.
Nice one, Josh. Been really good talking to you, mate. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Cheers, Joshua Goldsmith there from the Together Brighton podcast, talking all things the Albion. Right, remember, you can have your say here on Love Sport Radio tonight at Love Sport Radio. Give us a ring, 0208 70 20 0344 555 8. Right, you are listening to the Brighton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Next up is the Sheffield Wednesday Fan Show. Remember, we are the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. Take the stress out of managing your van insurance with Churchill. Our comprehensive policies offer you peace of mind. 24-hour accident recovery, £500 cover for lost or damaged audio equipment, plus guaranteed repairs for 5 years. Visit the van page at churchill.com. Churchill is underwritten by UK Insurance Limited, and Churchill Van is arranged and administered by Brightside Insurance Services Limited. This is Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.